Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I had mentioned to you earlier that once I began my new series on the communion meditation, I'll be dealing with the I ams of the Bible. But this morning is a kind of a dip in that, since it was not planned for me to stand and speak today. Psalm 73, and I will be very careful that we do not take away from the purpose for which we gather this morning. We're here to worship God and to remember the death of Christ. You will notice in the bulletin that the entire service had a theme running through it, which we seek to do each week. And the theme was our salvation, the reign of Christ, the ascension of Christ. And I have chosen a meditation this morning dealing with what I call looking in the right direction. Looking in the right direction. It was my joy yesterday to stay home with my boy. And while trying to do some work, every time he came to me, I would give him time. And at this one time, we were getting ready to go out. And so I took him upstairs and I dolled him up very nicely, as a father would do, I think. And when I was finished with him, I picked him in my arm and put him in front of the mirror. And both of us stood in front of the mirror looking into it. And I said, "Who do you see?" And he said, "Christopher." I felt good about that. Then I said to him again, "Who do you see?" He said, "Christopher." And then I said to him a third time, "Who do you see?" And he said, "Christopher." And I was saying it to myself, "Don't you see your daddy?" You know, when we take a look at life, the direction we look in will determine our response to life. Just as it happened with that innocent child, and I was having fun with it, by the way. This was not on ego trips anywhere. But it is a very serious business, and this is what happened to David. And as we come to the table this morning, I would like to challenge you to look in the right direction as you come into the sanctuary. Psalm 73 gives to us three different looks of David. First of all, he looked outwardly. Look at Psalm 73, verses 1 to 12, and I will not deal with the entire section. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me," see, he's looking into the mirror, and he's seeing only him. "As for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Here's David looking outwardly. He's looking at things outside of himself. Many of you have come here this morning looking outwardly. You're looking outside of yourself, and like David, you're seeing the success of others. Look at what he said. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked," this is not some fleeting glance that David is doing. He is looking with intensity. He's observing what is happening outside there. And he has come to the conclusion that success is out there, but somehow it is not in my direction. The result of this outward look led him to a sense of tremendous discouragement. And that is not hard to come to these days. He saw the success of others. And perhaps you have come into this place this morning, regardless of knowing this is a communion Sunday, and your look is an outward look. You're wondering if there's anything in a service of communion for you. Your week has been one of observation. It has been one that actually challenged you, challenged your faith perhaps, because you see in others what you're not seeing from yourself. Not only the success of others caused David to be discouraged, but I call this the sneering of others. The sneering of others. Look at verses 9 and 11 of Psalm 73. "They have set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue parades through the earth. And they say, how does God know? Sneering. In other words, they have no regard for holy things. They couldn't care less about God. For them, God was an obstacle in life, not one who actually gave meaning to life. They set their mouth in array to sneer at God, to speak in disdainful ways about God, to challenge God. But for David, he said, when I took that outward look and I saw the success of others and I heard the sneering of others, David said, I became discouraged. Where are you looking this morning? Are you among those looking outwardly? Looking at what others are experiencing, listening to what others are saying, and for you, coming to this place has been an experience of discouragement. This is simply a meditation, so I will not go into word study and so on. Secondly, David had the inward look. Outwardly, he couldn't understand what was happening. Inwardly, he looked. Verses 13 to 16 of our text. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocency, through to verse 16. This is the inward look. Having looked outwardly, David became discouraged because of what he was seeing with others, so he actually internalized his look now. He's looking at himself. He was looking at others. Now he looks at himself. And someone could well say that David had eye trouble in this text. Look how many times he says, I. Look at it. The first thing he saw when he looked inwardly, he saw doubts. Doubts. Surely in vain, or it has been useless, that I have surrendered my heart to God. He began to doubt his own relationship with the Lord. He asked if it was really worth the while for him to discipline himself, for him to place his life at the disposal of God, who is supposed to care, and for him there is no success. He has kept himself from sneering at God, and yet, when he looks inside, he sees only doubt. You see, David's inward look was based upon David's outward look. He looked out and he saw what they were doing. And when he looked inside and didn't see the same thing happen to him, he began to doubt his own relationship with his heavenly Father. But he did not only see doubts inside, he saw distress. Verse 16. When I pondered to understand this, it was painful. Painful. I became miserable inside. I don't want to go and experience life like those that I observe from the outward look. I'm too much of a Christian to go outside of my faith and enjoy that kind of a success. But the reality is not there for me to enjoy the relationship I claim to have. He found himself, my friends, between a rock and a hard place. Outwardly, he saw what he could not enjoy and what he was not enjoying. Inwardly, he saw doubts and distress. When I pondered to hear, when I pondered to understand, when I pondered to see something of the meaning of everything I'm doing in my life, he said, I became distressed. And I wonder if I'm not talking to someone this morning under the same circumstances. You might not be looking outwardly. You might be looking inwardly. And when you look inwardly like David, you say, I have doubts, I have fears, I have hurts, I have all the negative emotions that just cheats me out of living. Because I don't see anything of reality inside. And it leads me to distress. But then quickly, we go to a third look. The outward look, distress. The inward look, disillusionment. Now we take the upward look. This is where we come to the communion table, friends. So take the upward look. David said, when I tried to understand this, to perceive it, it was too painful, it was troublesome. Until, verse 17, I came into the sanctuary. You see, when you come into the sanctuary, my friends, the first thing that happens, especially when we come to the communion table, is we gain perspective. We gain perspective. Listen to how David puts it. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived, or then I understood. The word understood in the original, it's a very interesting word because it means to mentally separate things. Then I was able to separate when I came in and I took the upward look in the house of God, in the sanctuary of God. When I come to the communion table, I am able to separate things in my mind. I'm able to perceive things as they are and as they will be. I'm able to see the difference between what the outward look is experiencing, what the inward look is suggesting, but I'm able to put things into proper perspective when I take the inward look. I close with a story. My wife is reading this at home, and I picked it up, and I was looking at this. I thought, how beautiful this is. Look, listen to perspective. Perspective. Corrie ten Boom said, when we want to have a church picnic, and the weather looks somewhat threatening and frightening, we pray, and we ask God to keep the rains back so we can enjoy our church picnic. And when the rains do not come, we celebrate the goodness of God. We say how good God is. And then Corrie ten Boom says, are you trying to tell me that God wasn't good when I saw Betsy, my sister, starve to death? Are you telling me that because the rains were kept back so you can enjoy your picnic, and you can celebrate the goodness of God, that I am not able to celebrate the goodness of God even in the face of my sister's starvation in concentration camp? Perspective. I'm able to separate things. So Corrie ten Boom says when she took the upward look, she gained perspective. But not only perspective in 17, we see partnership in the rest of the text. Partnership in the rest of the text. Verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but thee? I desire nothing on earth beside thee. Partnership. The outward look, my friends, is a lonely look. The outward look is a disappointing look. The inward look is a frightening look because we know what's inside of us. But when we look upward, we gain perspective, and then we understand that life for the believer is a partnership. Jesus died and rose again that I might have hope. Nobody can live without hope. Whom have I in heaven beside thee? See, life for the believer, when he comes to the communion table, he's saying, it is I and thee. I'm not alone. Allow me again. Someone asked Corrie ten Boom, how do you manage difficulties? Listen to this in closing. How do I manage difficulties? Says Corrie ten Boom. Well, at first I try to walk past it. If it doesn't help, I try to climb over it. If it doesn't help, I try to crawl underneath of it. And if it does not, if I can't crawl underneath, I can't walk through it, I go straight through it with God. Partnership. Life is a partnership for those who know Christ. They never come to the table, but they're absolutely confident of this wonderful promise. Though I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Look outwardly, and you become distressed. Look inwardly, and you become disillusioned. Look outwardly and you are delivered. And you are delivered. And we come to the table, my friends, this morning. Whatever you bring into the sanctuary this morning, look up, take the bread, take the cup. Realize that for those whose faith is planted and rooted in Jesus Christ, life has perspective and life is a partnership. Let us pray.